Blog Talk Radio.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
To be single or not to be single, that is the question. A plethora of love songs, romantic comedies, and steamy novels that we're constantly inundated with in this society tend to heavily emphasize the fact that finding a potential spouse, your soulmate, if you will, without question should be your top priority in life next to finding your true passion career-wise. But what if you're in the minority of folk who tend to put the pursuit of a marital companion on the back burner indefinitely? Do you find yourself ashamed to show up at various social functions and holiday house parties simply because you haven't yet connected with that ideal mate who you're supposed to spend the rest of your adult life with? Are you frustrated that you're always the bridesmaid and never the bride? Or do you celebrate your independence by indulging yourself in all of your non-dating passions with the enthusiasm of a 5-year-old who has much more toys than they know what to do with? My guest tonight not only believes that being single is nothing to be ashamed of, nor should ever being single be a potential source of egotistical and or emotional insecurity, but rather she believes that the entire concept of being single covers a wide array of interests in one's life that carries way more significance than just the constant pursuit of a romantic bed partner. Even though the largest metropolis in the United States, New York City, is where she calls home, my guest this evening is attending to business in the city of the Golden Gate Bridge. That's right, San Francisco. But she adjusted her very busy schedule because Miss Sherry Langbert, founder of the website singleedition.com, wanted to take time out to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode One thing? Oh my God.
When I made the movie, it was never my intention to bash black women. What it's about is trying to show black women for the first time that some of the contributions to why relationships don't work actually do come from this.
So online dating actually allows you to get to know someone far better than if you met someone for 20 minutes in a bar.
Really? I actually agree with that. I agree with Evan wholeheartedly.
We were created to couple up, and I don't care who you are, how successful you think you have it, or how happy of a life you think you would have without a companion. We were created with a longing to couple with someone else.
Only God can judge me, and only God can judge these people. Everyone has the right to live their life, and who am I to judge a person for what they want to do? If it works for you, more power to you. Go ahead.
LA is like a meat market.
don't I know?
I don't know what it is, but people, somebody's looking for something. So fried chicken and black women to me. I mean, this is a beautiful thing. I even wrote a poem. Tastes just like chicken.
That's McDermott. Glad to have you here.
Alan, I'm just feeling a lot of love right now. Yeah, you got me all a tingling. So, talk about it.
702 is up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and Jimmy Jean-Louis.
Hey, what's up, Alan? What's up, Jimmy J?
Hey, how are you? Jimmy J. Somebody knows me.
Oh, my goodness.
I get this, dude. No, you know, hey.
You're horrible.
What? Welcome to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, April 3rd, and today's show is asking the question to my listeners, are you single and happy or are you single and miserable? That is one of the underlying themes of today's discussion with my guest for the evening. But before I get to my guest for the evening, first off, as I always do, I want to take a few quick seconds to give a few shout-outs and much-deserved props. Many thanks to the co-founders of Blog Talk Radio, CEO Mr. Alan Levy and Chief Operating Officer Mr. Bob Cherish, the Blog Talk Radio executive staff. Much props go to Miss Hillary Lee Wong. Miss Hillary Lee Wong, she recently elevated my show to featured status. Much props to Hillary Lee Wong. I thank you so much for that. And also I thank Mr. John Sweet and Mr. Luke Armour. They always help me out whenever I run into a problem. So, yeah, much kudos to them. My broham and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, my cousin Chicago, J.P. Jones, as well as my other cousin at the ball in Maplewood, New Jersey, Alvin Spencer in Denver. All of my fellow Blog Talk Radio Network family, that includes Nikki Woods, The Dean, Will Wavy, Dangerous Lee, Nikki Love, Sandy, a.k.a. How Elegant, Hip Talk Radio. He had a nice interview with the Lovologist the other day. I enjoyed that. And just way too many more other quality hosts right here on this internet radio network known as Blog Talk Radio. If you get a chance, listeners, please check out the weekly lineup of all of the high-quality talk radio shows available for you to listen to either live or as an archived podcast. Archived podcast, for example, this show, once it completes the live recording, it becomes available for you to listen to as an archived podcast. So check out the podcast from my previous shows, other host shows, and I'm sure you won't be bored. Of course, I give props to all my enthusiastic and loyal listeners from such cities as Los Angeles, Chicago, Baltimore, D.C., Columbus, Ohio, Houston, Vegas, Seattle, Indianapolis. Got my boy Metal Hayes. He's here again. He's from the same city that my guest for the evening is originally from, Montreal, Canada. So I give much props to all the people in the chat room. I got Steve the Dean Williams. He just joined in the chat room. Lawyer Guy, Army White, Metal Hayes, Chi-Town Flawless, who has a new show, GlennandTeresa.com, and all the other guests. If you're a guest and you haven't registered on Blog Talk Radio, register as a listener. That way you can type a comment in the chat room. You can let me know a question you want to ask my guest for the evening or a comment you want to pass on to her. So please, if you're showing up in the chat room as guest 2203 or guest 2226, go to where it says at the homepage, create account, and you can create an account as a listener. And then also for selfish reasons, then after the show, you can actually rate my show. So that's my little plug. If you missed last week's show, oh, man, please make sure you visit my archives. That show was hot. That was my first two-hour episode ever, and it was truly an enjoyable, entertaining, and enlightening conversation with relationship advisors and book authors Anthony and Melanie Clark. They wrote the book, How to Get Over That Bitch and Grow Balls They Can't Resist. A lot of people just can't get over that title. But we had an enjoyable conversation, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. And that ended up being one of my highest-rated shows, if not the highest-rated show of the season thus far. If you're a brand-new listener to my show and you're not really familiar with the format of my program, Upfront and Straightforward is a 60-minute talk radio program designed primarily for single men and single women. I have a lot of married people listen to my show, a lot of people in dating relationships who listen to my show. But I would say at least two-thirds, three-fourths of my topics are usually geared towards single men and single women, age 18 years of age or older. And I talk about anything and everything that is directly, indirectly related to enhancing their social life, their love life, and even their sex life. So there's a lot of single men and single women in various cities across the country that do tune into this show. If you have an iPod, you might want to download some of my previous episodes to your iPod from iTunes. I am available on iTunes. Just put in a search Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, and all of my previous archived podcasts will show up. So, yeah, if you're a big iTunes user, big iPod user, please download some of my archive podcasts. My main web address is http://blogtalkradio.mode1.net or www.blogtalkradio.com/mode1. That's not with the number, but spelled out, M-O-D-E-O-N-E, blogtalkradio.com/M-O-D-E-O-N-E. Now, I know when you visit my pages for my show, you see the photos of my attractive co-host, Miss Tennille Williams, but sad to say, for like the sixth or seventh week in a row, Miss Williams' working obligations again prevent her from joining me for this week's episode. I actually communicated with her earlier today. She said she was going to try to call in at some point during the show and let the listeners know that she misses them, but she's an up-and-coming model and actress in Hollywood, and she's starting to get just a lot of work. And before I introduce my guest for the evening, let me quickly plug a couple of shows coming up. Next week, he's in the chat room right now. Next week, I'm going to have Steve the Dean Williams, who has his own blog talk radio show, School of Dating. He is going to be my guest co-host, and we're going to talk about a handful of things, but the main topic we're going to talk about is directed at, oh, Lord, do I say it, African-American women, and I've already gotten emails about this. The topic is, are you really a strong sister, or are you just a loud, obnoxious, disrespectful, condescending black woman? Yes, that topic is already raising controversy because so many black women will say, I'm a strong sister, I'm a strong sister. What exactly does that mean? So that's what me and the Dean are going to be chopping it up about. That's next week, April 10th. And then right after that, April 17th, I'm going to have the AskMan.com resident relationship advisor. He goes by the name of Doc Love. He will be here to share some of his knowledge and wisdom to men on how to enhance their ability to attract women, attract a girlfriend and or potential wife, and I can't wait for that. And finally, on April 24th, a guy who's in a similar field, he goes by the name of F.J. Shark. He has a popular book called How to Be the Jerk That Women Love, How to Be the Jerk That Women Love. He has a very strong, loyal following known as the Jerk Army, so I look forward to having him on my show 2 weeks from tonight. But let's get to my guest for the evening. She is an accomplished journalist as well as a respected relationship expert and entrepreneur. As I mentioned already, she's originally from Montreal, Canada, but she's been living in New York City for many years now, roughly 10 years or so. And she has been featured on WeightWatchers.com, DivorceMag.com. She's also been featured in the Wall Street Journal, New York Magazine, and Reader's Digest, among other publications. My guest has over 13 years of experience in new media and technology experience, and she's held many positions with many Fortune 100 companies, such as AIG Financial Services and Nestle Food Products. Her current passion and interest, though, is the one we're going to mainly discuss tonight, and that is her up-and-coming website known as SingleEdition.com. SingleEdition.com that carries the slogan, Where I Am One. On behalf of Blog Talk Radio and Upfront and Straightforward, listeners, give it up for Miss Sherry Langbers. How you doing, Miss Langbert?
I'm great. How are you, Alan?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. As you can see, I'm all psyched up. I'm ready to just throw some questions at you. Just throw them at you.
I'm ready.
See how you respond. So, now let me ask you right off the bat, since you're originally from Canada, is there anything you like better about social activities and say, dating rituals in Canada than here in the United States, or is everything about the same?
It's a little bit different. I think that there's a little bit of an old-fashioned mentality. You come to a city, I live in New York, and you come to a city like New York, it's a little bit faster paced. And I think traditionally Canadians are a little bit more slower paced than Americans. So there's the more old-fashioned rituals that still exist.
Now, you know, I'm going to really throw you a doozy. because I just found out something today. Now, of course, you have your baby, singleedition.com, which
right.
is designed to enhance the lifestyles of single men like myself, unmarried, and single women. And so, of course, I'm thinking, you know, first of all, can I call you Sherry?
Of course.
Okay, Sherry, I'm thinking Sherry has to be the biggest advocate for single life. I mean, I'm thinking she's the type of woman, if 10 guys proposed to her, she would be like, no, I want to stay single for the next 15 years. But then I find out reading a little blurb on you today that you are a newlywed. What's up with that, Sherry? What's up with that?
I couldn't help it. What was I going to do? He forced me. No, all kidding aside, I started this. It's been a passion of mine for the past 15 years. As I said, I've been in technology forever. And, you know, I met my husband while I launched the business. So it happened pretty quickly. But when I was single, all I wished that there was a site or some kind of resource, a magazine or something that would help single people. So I pursued the passion.
Okay, well, then let me ask you an honest question. Do you worry, and I doubt if you do, but do you worry, I don't want to put this, like, is that going to be a potential conflict of credibility, so to speak? Because it's like me, say, I launched happymarriage.com, and it takes all people coming to the site, and then I get divorced.
Right. I can understand what you're saying, and I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people who push back on it. But truthfully, I was single for 15 years of my adult life, and I have so much experience with it that I don't think it should be a conflict. I think it should say that I have a wealth of information. I was a very independent single person, and even in my marriage now, you know, I'm very independent. So I don't think single or married, you have to kind of close the door to someone.
I agree with that.
Independence happens in all kinds of relationships. I think you need, it's a mindset, and I think you need to be independent in a marriage, independent in a relationship, and independent when you're single.
Now, okay, given that you've been single for so long, what's been your biggest, well, actually, before you answer this question, let me finish it, but I'm going to tell my listening audience, if during this conversation, those in the chat room and those listening otherwise have a question or comment for my guest, Ms. Sherry Langbert, you can call 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. And please, listeners, as a favor to me, I know you got to wait to the right moment when the question pops in your head, but don't wait till the last minute, because on at least half my shows, I don't get any calls in the first half, and then when I got like 10 minutes to go, my call-in, you know, thing is just a switchboard is lighting up. People want to get a question at the last minute, so try to call in early tonight. But what I was just asking, Ms. Langbert, you said you were single for roughly 15 years or so. What was your biggest adjustment, you being still a newlywed, that you've had to, I guess, modify about your normal routine?
The biggest adjustment was...
Yeah, the one that's been the most challenging.
Being able to come and go as I please, and the compromise between friends. I was not going to give up my female, or most importantly, so many people give up their male, or, you know, the members of the opposite sex that become their friends. The one thing I told my husband when I met him is, my male friends mean the most to me, and you're not going to let me make, I'm not going to give them up for anyone. So it's been, you know, he's a cool guy. He was like, that's fine. But it's been an adjustment. It's a little bit hard introducing, you know, guy friends to someone that you're married to.
Now, okay, since you brought that up, is your husband, if you don't mind me asking, is he somewhat of a jealous type? Does he mind you having a lot of male friends, or he's like, oh, I'm cool with that?
You know what? He's super confident, and I think that super confidence comes when you're able to leave an independent single life for so many years. He's a lot older than me. And he, you know, he trusts me, and he's sowed his oats. So I think that's my whole thing about single living, is if you're going to be single, it might not be by choice, or it is by choice, but at least live your ultimate being. And that way, when you do meet the right person, you're going to be confident in who you are. That's, you know, that's where I've come to be, and that's where my husband's come to be.
Okay. Now let me ask you this, okay, forget about your marriage for now. Go back to your single days. Now, single, of course, implies no husband, no wife, no boyfriend, no girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But In the business world, they say a man has to eat. In relationship world, some people would argue against this. I would say a man has to have stress release, to put it formally. What are your thoughts on singles engaging in casual sex activities such as one-night stands, weekend flings, or the new term, friends with benefits? Well, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm so glad you asked that. And here's what I always say to people who come to me. You know what? There's the stigma of doing such a thing, but when people who are married get to have the same partner and have sex all the time, I'm sorry for using the right word and straight on.
Oh, go ahead. Be as frank. This is called upfront and straightforward.
So I'm going to do it. If your married friends get to have that partner engage in those activities every night, then as long as you're careful and you are protected, you should be able to do what you want. At 35 years old or at 32 years old, your sex life is your business, and I don't think that there should be any judgment on it.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's interesting. I like that answer. Now, I have to let you know, though, at least based on my conversations, your response is kind of in the minority, because a lot of people in general, and particularly your gender, sometimes do tend to be judgmental towards casual sex. Not so much premarital sex. I know a lot of women who are down for premarital sex, but they want it to be within the context of a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship.
Right.
So
I think everything's relative. Mm-hmm. I really think everything's relative. I think depending on how you were raised, where you were raised, and who you were raised by, what your morals are and your values, casual, my definition of that might be very different than your definition or someone else's definition of that. I think as long as you're within your comfort zone, then it's fine, you know? So do you need to be in a six-month relationship? That's for the person to decide where they feel comfortable. But I don't think as long as you're comfortable with what you do in the bedroom, then you should be okay with it. I don't think that anyone has a claim to judging who what you do and your behaviors.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Now let me ask you this. Your site is interesting because typically when you hear the words single and website mentioned in the same sentence, is going to lean towards a site like, you know, Match.com or eHarmony or basically something to do with dating and finding a romantic partner. But I noticed you try to steer away from that. You seem, from what I've read, you seem to believe that there's more facets to a single person's life than just looking for a spouse or a bed partner. So do you think single men and single women, to a certain degree, put too much emphasis sometimes on finding Mr. Right or Miss Right?
I think it's a pattern that I notice with a lot of people, but that's not where I want to comment. I think that the comment is that there's so many things that single people do that our website needs to focus on. So single edition, I mean, you know, more than 60% of singles travel independently. They don't have, you know, they need resources for traveling, for one. 65% of singles like dining out alone or cooking at home and entertaining. Those are the things that we want to highlight on our site because, yes, you're right, there are millions and millions of dating sites. And quite frankly, when I would go search when I was single and searching for resources or help, how do you, you know, buy a home if you're by yourself? How do you get a mortgage approval if you're by yourself? Where should I go if I want a vacation other than Club Med? Sorry, but, you know, those were the things that just weren't out there, and those are the things we want to address.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, you mentioned all these things that involve money. Mm-hmm. I had a friend make an interesting comment, and I'm going to throw it at you. Do you think some people, instead of looking for a true, genuine, loving partner, they in some ways look for a business partner who they can also have sex with?
I'm not sure if it's a business partner, but I think that both genders look for benefits sometimes, and that's just not what you should be looking for. I think that's where I say my Canadian values come out. You have to be looking for the values and the virtues and the kindness of a person, not, you know, what am I going to get and where is this person going to get me? But yes, to answer your question, I do think, I don't know if it's necessarily a business partner, but it's the perks of something.
Well, yeah, that was her lighthearted way of saying, but she was that was her way of saying that, you know, nobody's going to hook up. Well, it's very rare somebody's going to hook up with somebody who's just like broke or not willing to help out financially. So now it's interesting, though. I was reading piece today on the internet where a journalist, I want to say her name was Amy Owens, she said that she has found, it's mainly directed towards single men, she says she found in her surveys that women actually put more emphasis on a man's degree of health and fitness and his moral character and integrity more so than his career success, wealth, or social status. Would you agree, disagree, or partially agree or disagree with that?
I would say that it depends where the women are from and who the women are. I think it shifts between city to city and the types of people you're dealing with.
Okay, say let's start off with saying a big city versus, say, a rural town.
I say in a rural town it's not as likely, but in a big city, yes, you will find in the opposite. In a big city, you will find that women focus more on a man's career and his earning potential. And that might be a hasty generalization, but there are more people and there's more activity going on in a big city and more higher expectations in a big city. And in a rural city or, you know, not as a populated of a city or in the suburbs, I think that love is just love and people don't really, they are looking for the right type of relationship and what the person comes with is not about what's in their bank account.
Now, speaking of that, I'm going to segue into another question related to geography. Some single people, I would think, would argue that if you have more choices, more opportunities to interact with other singles, date other singles, if you're living in a metropolis such as a New York City, a Los Angeles, excuse me, Chicago. But what about those singles in these small cities? You know, I would think some of them say, would go to your website and say, well, it's easy for Sherry to say focus on other things other than dating, especially now that they know you got a husband. I mean, but I would think singles in small rural, like, you know, those like small farm towns, some of their whole life centers on finding the spouse. What's your thoughts?
It's so funny you ask that because just this week we got in two questions from people saying that they live in small cities and everyone's married or the only activity to do is to go to the local bar, which that's not their scene. And you know what? We still address their issues and we try to help them in terms of you're not bound to a small city. You know, you don't have to be in the small city. There are plenty of different day trips you could do. You can go out. You could drive into the big city. You could even go online and search parameters outside your small city and meet someone to date in a bigger city. So, you know, we do know that that's an issue, and our content and the way we try to address everything is evergreen. We don't try to make it everything's a big city mentality. As I said, I've kind of grown up in a very small city and lived in a small I mean, Montreal might not be the smallest city, but it's certainly not New York. And we, you know, we understand where I come from that kind of mindset where it is a smaller city. So I know how to address those situations.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I find interesting, and this might be silly to say because, I mean, I think you can have technological wizards in any part of the country. But, you know, most of the time, when you think of people, the website entrepreneurs and the top-notch software engineers, et cetera, you think of Northern California, which you are, that's where you are now, right, San Francisco?
Right.
Uh-huh. Is it prevalent in New York City? And again, this is a semi-dumb question given as large New York City, but do you guys have a good base of, like, you know, website entrepreneurs, technological wizards, that sort of thing, similar to Silicon Valley?
I mean, just due to the scope of New York City, the size of the city, there definitely is. I think that New York City has a lot of cutting-edge design shops. You know, AI and user interface technology is very advanced in New York City. Technology is there. And I think that it's a city of business people. So I think that there's a lot of entrepreneurs. Do they maybe partner in terms of the back end and the engineering and the infrastructure with other folks in other cities? That may be. But there definitely is cutting-edge design in terms of front-end visuals. A lot of the ad agencies, which are, you know, very prevalent in New York City, they have those kind of digital arms and digital units that are doing such. So, yes, I do think it's definitely cutting-edge in terms of technology.
Do you yourself, do you, like, have network groups you socially interact
sure.
with?
Sure. I mean, my background is from Montreal. Montreal has a very rich technology media center called, it's a French name, so I won't even repeat it. But in New York, there's a lot of different meetup groups for technology people. There's a lot of Facebook groups going on with technology people, young entrepreneur groups. I'm a member of Ladies Who Launch, which is an association for female entrepreneurs that has a media division. So there's definitely plenty of different media outlets that you can join up.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now we're going to take a 2 to 3 minute intermission. So if you want to grab your water bottle, Sherry, I'm going to run some promos for a couple of shows, and then we'll be right back. Listeners, if you have any questions or comments, please call in 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. We're speaking, if you just tuned in, we're speaking with Miss Sherry Langbert. She is a well-respected journalist from New York City, as well as an entrepreneur and the founder of SingleEdition.com, a website that focuses on the lifestyles of singles. So we'll be right back in a couple minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to AskDangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at MySpace.com/DangerousLee.
Tune in to Touching Millions, hosted by Nikki Woods and Tanya Sherrell, Sundays 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio. Be informed, be empowered, be connected. Together we can change the world one life at a time.
Change a life, change a life.
Touching Millions is brought to you by A Million Women Strong, an organization designed to inform, empower, and connect women all across the globe. For more information, log on to the website, amillionwomenstrong.com.
Change a life. Change a life.
Touching Millions, Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio.
Woo! What's up, everybody? This is your radio show host, Nikki Love. And I'm inviting you to come hang out with me on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. Where we debate, we motivate, and we have a good time. Come check out the Nikki Love Show, and that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Nikki Love, and that's NICKYLOV. See you there.
Guys, how does it feel to come out of pocket spending money on dinners and dates only to get a hug at the end of the night while she goes and visits a bad boy like me?
Damn, damn, damn!
Oh, Florida. Come over and join our blog talk show, Beyond Dating, every Tuesday and Saturday night, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get your crayons out. Go to www.thedeantv.com. That's www.thedeantv.com. Are you ready to think outside your dating box?
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry. Join my co-host, Tennille Williams, and I every Thursday evening at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast as we discuss a wide variety of dating-related issues with some of the most intelligent and entertaining guests that the Blog Talk Radio Network has to offer. Visit blogtalkradio.com/Mode 1, M-O-D-E-O-N-E. See you then. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another edition of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry on the Blog Talk Radio Network. My guest for the evening is Miss Sherry Langbert, a journalist and entrepreneur from New York City, who's originally from Montreal, Canada. And her passion, piece de passion, I don't know if I pronounced that right, but is singleedition.com.
singleedition.com, which is a website that focuses on the lifestyles of singles, and it goes beyond just the dating component of a single person's life. Now, what would you say along those lines, Sherry? What's kind of, other than just being for singles, what would you say is your specific niche, your most unique and appealing attribute? I mean, is it an extra focus on, say, people's personal finances, career success, extracurricular activities like hiking? I mean, any particular niche other than just singles?
I do think that we're obviously focusing on all the different categories within a lifestyle. There's nothing out there on the web, as you said before. It's all, you know, you assume it's going to be all dating sites. So we're focusing on different categories: health, wellness, fitness, financing, home, relationships is part of it too. And relationships might not be just with a significant other or dating, but with your family. I mean, single people have issues with extended family or immediate family members. But, you know, obviously we're just in the first phases of launch. So we started as a content site. We're going to keep adding more. Single Edition is going to have message boards and community features. We're also going to have a gift-giving registry and an affinity or like an advantage program for singles so that they don't get charged all the different things that they typically get charged for.
Mm-hmm. Now, when was your specific launch? When was the site launched?
We actually launched on December 31st, and we did that in conjunction with the New York Times piece that went out that day.
Oh, okay. That's with the one with you and the laptop.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that photo.
Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
See, that makes you look all just so innocent and sweet. Even
so
though I know you got your... Go ahead.
No, until my response is from before the break.
Now, this is something we're going to just get away from, you know, all the business talk and just talk about being a single in today's society. Now, this is lighthearted, and, you know, I don't necessarily think you got expertise to give me a detailed answer response to this, but it's been all over the news. And you do act, in addition to being an entrepreneur, you're a relationship expert, right?
Right.
You give relationship advice on...
Living advice.
Okay, now it's funny that, you know, you probably, all women know this, men worry about their sexual performance, you know, with the woman of choice. And, you know, there's always this joke about, like, in the urban community, being a two-minute brother. And I'm sure in all the communities, you know, the guy who's known for the premature. But they came out and said that, they did some survey. It was on the Today Show and a couple other shows that the average length of sex that a man needs to satisfy a woman is about 4 to 13 minutes. 4 to 13. You hear that, man out there? 4 to 13 minutes. So if you go 2 minutes, you're just 2 minutes below like the average or something. Well, what are your quick thoughts on that, Sherry?
I'm just going to say, are they considering the foreplay component of that, or is that just the performance time?
I think that's just, you know, the entree. That's not the appetizer portion. So
I don't know about that. I mean, listen, I think you got to give a brother a helping hand here. I mean, there's a lot of times that the foreplay part of it might be, you know, people get very excited in getting to the final goal, but you have to kind of play the field for a little bit longer.
Okay. Well, this is what I say, guys. Do about an hour and a half of foreplay, and then add on about 4 to 13 minutes. You're good to go.
There you go. See, you're an expert.
Yeah, hey man, that kind of blew my mind, to be truthful. I was like, 4 to 13 minutes. Here I am, you know. Well, I ain't gonna tell my first business, but that's
you
just interesting.
The
Go
morning
ahead.
Shows have every morning, you know, you see things on the morning shows. Last week I saw something, I don't know which morning show it was, but women, you should marry men who are not as attractive. Or then it was people who are married are smarter than people who are single. And it's almost offensive. Like, is there nothing newsworthy to put in the morning hours of the shows?
So it's almost like you're suggesting, Alan, I think that was basically BS. Nobody's going to satisfy a woman in 13 minutes or less. But hey,
whatever.
You know,
it's all media.
All media.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say, hey, guys, don't need to feel insecure now, because, hey, You can just point to these articles and say, if a woman criticizes you, just say, hey, I lasted 15 minutes. That was 2 minutes above the maximum.
Alan, you're so stupid. You're stupid.
I get a little silly on this show, Sherry. But, hey, let me ask you, not including abusive relationships and or marriages headed for divorce, do you think it's possible for a single man, a single woman to truly be happier than a man or woman who are married? I mean, there was a study, for example, that said that men who are married tend to be more emotionally well-adjusted, more stress-free, and even live longer. So what does that say about the idea of being single?
I think you can be single and be very, very happy. And I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married. If you're going to find a person who's pressuring themselves, I need to get married, I need to get married, they're not going to be happy. But if you find, you could take two 45-year-old men, both single, and one will be just the happiest, well-adjusted, most emotionally well-rounded person, and the other will be depressed and not happy. The person who's depressed is typically the person who's taking in society pressures, thinking that he's older, that time is running out, and I think it's about how you look at yourself. And if that goes for anything you do in life at any age of the game. You could be 70, you could be 60, no matter what it is. There are businessmen who start new careers at 80 years old. So it depends what your outlook is.
Now, don't you think, I think it goes without saying that for a man such as myself, I mean, you know, we can, like Steve Martin, who I love, Steve Martin, the comedian, he recently got married at the age of 61. But given that most women, not all women, but most women want to have children, don't you think the biological clock kind of, you know, throws a monkey wrench in their plans of trying to be single indefinitely?
You know, it's hard for me to comment on that. I'm not a doctor, but I can say that I've always believed that if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If a marriage is meant to work out, it will work out. If you're meant to have children, you're meant to have children. And, you know, studies do show that when people get kind of wrapped up and nervous about having children, it's harder for them to conceive. So I think you just have to not worry about that clock and your chances of having the happier life. And if children are supposed to be part of your life, you will have them. You know, that's just the way the world works. So it's, you know, it's not for me to answer medically or in that sense, but I just think that you just have to kind of live your life and whatever is supposed to happen to you will happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good advice. I mean, I guess a woman shouldn't let the whole biological clock thing dictate who she chooses or, you know, rushes her into choosing the wrong partner.
Let me tell you, you're better off being single or than, you know, having four kids, like, you know, rushing into something with the wrong person and then it doesn't work out. And, you know, that's just an alternate scenario that can be just as hard or equally as hard.
Okay, got area code 347. Area code 347, you are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and Sherry Langbert.
Hi, how you doing? This is Suki Sook.
How's it going, Suki Sook?
I'm all right. I wanted to touch bases about where you asked about the biological clock. Is it ticking?
Yeah, I was asking, basically, does that cause, compared to men, because men don't have any sense of, I guess, urgency when it comes to, say, I got to get married by the time I'm 38 or 39 or 40 or et cetera, you know. And I was mentioning how, you know, Steve Martin just got married at age 61. And whereas a woman, you know, at some point, I would think the clock does run out. But Ms. Langford here just gave a very good response. What are your thoughts?
Well, what you're saying is kind of true, but not all the way, because a man could still have children past a certain age, depending on his body. You know, my father, I have a 9-year-old sister, and I'm 34, and my father is 79 years old.
Wait, I don't get what you're saying.
My father is 79 years old. I have a 9-year-old sister.
Oh, I never said men couldn't have it. I said they can have babies forever. That's my point.
And
I'm saying the woman is the one who can't have babies forever.
Well, a woman can. It depends. But, your body shuts down at a certain age, and I don't think that could happen. But like she said, you have to make sure you're marrying the right mother. You understand? You have to make sure that when you do have these children, no matter what age you are, that the mother is good. It's a good woman you're marrying. Because not everybody could be a parent.
True. Very true. I had an uncle once who told me, he said, nephew, if you marry the right woman, it's the closest thing to heaven you ever experienced on earth. But you marry the wrong woman and you can fill out the rest. So I do think the quality of partner is more important than just trying to, you know, find somebody to bear kids. But I'm just saying, you know, I know for many couples, kids are a big priority. And I was just wondering about Sherry's thoughts on that. But thank you for calling. Do you have any other questions or comments for our guests?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Kurt. And any other listeners, both in the chat room, got quite a few listeners in the chat room, as well as those who listen outside the chat room. If you want to call in, the number is 646-478-5710. Only got about, I don't know, about maybe 5 to 10 minutes left to ask some more questions of Sherry. Sherry, are there any types of advertisers who specifically look to market products and services to singles? Because it seems like most advertisers, marketers, are looking to market products either to married couples, teenagers, or children.
I got to tell you, Alan, that's one of the biggest reasons that as a single person was very, and as a business single person, that I would deal with all these companies, these CPG companies, consumer packaged goods, and never once, every campaign we did was mothers and children. You know what? There are plenty of divorced fathers out there that no one was targeting, and there were plenty of single people, whatever age. So that is something that I think industry needs to look at. They're just not focusing on this growing demographic of people. And there's different, you know, echelons within it. There's different types of people who are single, and they just don't look at it. So they still kind of focus on the perfect picture, you know, family. And I think that there's many opportunities to start targeting singles and really supporting them.
Mm-hmm. Real quickly, I'm going to go back to the question about the whole biological clock thing. This is just kind of a quick follow-up question. Assuming a woman does desire to have one or more children, Do you think marriage, as you know, and you know, in previous decades, we've kind of had prudish attitude towards a lot of things. I'm wondering, do you think marriage should be a mandatory requirement for raising children, or do you think our society has become liberal enough to stop frowning on the idea of children out of wedlock?
I want to comment on what the user said before, the caller said before, and I think that one of the interesting things that I was raised at is my parents always said you don't need a license to have children. And it's amazing that some people can be parents, and I think that I can't make the judgment. Again, I think it goes back to where you come from. I think we have become much more liberal as a society. I think a lot of the things are set forward in terms of change from, you know, the movie stars and Hollywood, which is that the norm? I don't know. But I do think that people are more lenient. More and more people, why should people not be able to have a child if they are single? And if it's done responsibly and, you know, they're of age. And if they are concerned that their biological clock is ticking out, is running out. So I think that it's up for the person to decide. If they're a fit person, a single mom or a single dad might be much more, you know, prepared to be a better parent than a couple that's in a bad, horrible relationship that's having children just for the sake of maintaining their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Very true. I couldn't argue with that. And let's get a little more lighthearted about the idea. I know you're married now, newlywed now, but living in a big city like New York, I'm sure when you were single, you got hit on quite a bit. And a lot of my show is dedicated to male listeners looking for hints, tips of what to do, what not to do. What are 2 to 3 characteristics that you felt that the men who approached you, it enhanced your interest in them? And then name 2 to 3 things that men typically did that made you say, oh, man, you just lost major points.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to say this. Do not assume that because a woman is single that she's, you know, being asked out all the time. Because when you're working hard and you're at the office typically, a lot of people, my friends, myself included, I was at work late every night. I didn't, you know, yes, I dated a lot, but there were many months where my phone didn't even ring once. So if there's a woman that you think is attractive or you want to approach, just approach her because she's probably, you know, her social life is probably not what you think it is. That's A. And then in terms of things that men should do in terms of approaching, maintain be humble. Don't be arrogant. Women don't like arrogant men. You don't need to, like, if you have an online profile, you don't need to post, like, your profile with your salary income. Just be a little bit more modest in terms of what you're putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my biggest piece of advice.
That's funny go ahead. I'm sorry.
And none of the text messaging with, you know, on Single Edition, we just came out with an article. There's so much going on with text message sex and all this stuff that happens, you know, with mobile technology and web technologies. Don't be a predator online. Don't, like, I am a woman the minute she walks in the door at 2:00 in the morning and expect her to come find you. So just be a little bit more discreet.
Yeah, that's funny. Going back to your first point, now I got to plug my book. It's called Mold One, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. And that's one of the things I say in my book is that a man should always approach a woman and never make the assumption, you know, that she's taken or make the assumption she's not interested. And so many guys, they basically reject themselves before they even approach a woman, especially, like, I've seen photos of you. I can imagine men would look at you and say, oh, she's attractive. I know she got a boyfriend and... I knew she's going to reject me, and so they don't even make the effort. But that's a good point, though. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know what? I think it's 100% true that, especially, you know, in bigger cities, and people just assume that you're living this life and you're out every night. And I got to say, there was plenty of nights, like I said before, you can't make those assumptions about women. And you said it right, Alan. Men, you know, put themselves down before even giving it a try. You don't even know. And what if the worst thing that can happen is you meet a new friend? You know, there are plenty of times where you talk to someone who might be in a relationship, and maybe in 6 months they're not in that relationship, and all of a sudden they're with you. So I would never, ever make the assumption about someone else.
Okay. I got a call on the line. Is area code 219. You're up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What is your question or comment?
Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
I really appreciate the well thought out responses that your guest has on tonight. One of the things, though, that I'm interested in hearing her perspective on is, does she tailor her message to the urban community? Because the argument in the urban community is that there's a family breakdown, and that the emphasis on the single life might be hurting the urban community as a whole.
Thoughts,
so,
sir?
You know what, to answer your question, I'm not that smart. Let's just put it out there. I'm just writing content where Single Edition is just producing content without an objective, there's no ulterior motive. We're just trying to provide the best kind of content we can to help people in terms of the lifestyle issues we were faced with or that we are faced with as singles. So there's really no grand, you know, reason of why we're tailoring content. We're just trying to produce as best content as we can to make people live happier, better lives.
Excellent. And just a follow-up question, was there any aspect of your character personality that you improved on when you were single and that has enhanced your married life?
Oh, definitely. I can't even count how many. Responsibility, financial responsibility, relationship development with different people, learning how to deal with different issues, career, becoming a very successful career person, not being afraid of trying new things, independent travel. I mean, it can go on forever.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And if anybody else is interested in calling in, I only got literally 2 or 3 more minutes to throw a question at Sherry because we're starting to come to a close. But I did have a question. Given that one of the most popular shows on TV in the last few years had to do with single women in New York, and that would be Sex and the City. Did that show in any way influence your personal life, professional life, just your thoughts on dating, especially in a big city like New York?
I think that show raised incredible issues that were never raised before. I think it made many people know that certain things were okay. You know, obviously it's a dramedy. So there are things that, you know, no one's going to ever live in New York City, be a writer and make that kind of money and have an apartment like Carrie Bradshaw. However, so you have to take that part of it very lightly. But the essence of the show raised issues and made certain things acceptable that were never acceptable before.
No, very, very much so. Number one, I think it in many ways liberated a lot of women's thoughts towards it. Like one of my initial questions towards you was about your thoughts on casual sex.
Right.
I think that show definitely matter of fact, I read an article. Did you know that show actually had an effect on the profits of the sex toy industry? Because nobody had ever heard of Jackrabbit before.
The
sex
rabbit. Yeah, exactly.
And it became like a household name.
But here's the thing, that show, also, I think that men just need that kind of boost. I think that there is so much out there. When we launched Single Edition, so many people said, men are not going to go to your site. And I said, you know what, maybe they will, because it's unisex. If you're single, you're single. And now we're looking at it, and half or more than half of our readers and the people who write into us are men. So I think that show did so much for women, but men still want and need more information and resources and support. And I think the web or things that you're doing with your radio show, I think it's great.
Well, thank you. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Much appreciated, Sherry. And, my final question before I let you go would be, and I kind of asked you about the niche, and this, so I guess in a way this might be a little similar or even redundant, but other than single people in general, are you targeting, say, a specific age group, maybe 39 years of age and younger, or 40 years of age or older, or college-educated professionals, or are you just really just trying to hit just single people regardless of their background?
You know what? I think we're really going after people after the age of 32, just because when you're in your 20s, it's a whole different thing. I think also I'm pretty certain that after the age of 30, you start to feel that pressure by society coming in on you. So the age of 32 and upward, we don't really want to focus in, though they are part of our audience, but the baby boomers, there's plenty of sites out there that target baby boomers. But certainly, you know, we're not excluding them from our mix. So anywhere between 32 to 54, but with a focus on the 32 to 45-year-old audience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any big events you want our listeners to know about? Anything coming up related to singleedition.com, like a contest, sweepstakes, anything like that?
We definitely are having a contest. It's a solo spotlight contest that's going to be beginning. You can go right now online, but we're going to be offering free trips, very exclusive trips, coming soon, and whoever applies online will be part of that sweepstakes. We also are supposedly going to be featured on some of the morning shows coming up in April and May. So, you know, we'll keep you posted. We're not allowed to say yet which ones they are, but we will be on the morning shows coming soon.
Well, thank you for joining me this evening, Ms. Langer. It's been a true pleasure, and I beg to differ with your self-proclamation that you're not that smart. I think you're very intelligent, very articulate, and I wish you the best of success.
Thank you, Alan. It's been such a pleasure, and I wish you the same.
Thank you very much. And that's it for our show, listeners. Next week, join me, Steve the Dean Williams, guest co-host. Next week, Strong Sisters, I'm out.
Heart, then it's time that you start. Talk Radio.